Theatre Royal. The very name summons up something of grandeur and eloquence, and it was. Hosted by Laurence Olivier, these big-name productions also included the creme de la creme of acting talent, from John Gielgud, Ralph Richardson and Orson Welles, to Trevor Howard, Michael Redgrave and Olivier himself. They were based on works by the world's leading authors, among them Charles Dickens, Henry James, Oscar Wilde and Anton Chekhov. These are but a few of whose company we shall be keeping as we raise the curtain on our first instalment of theatrical history.
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribes, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theatre Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. Today's play is adapted from some sequences chosen from Charles Dickens' immortal Pickwick Papers. We've taken our title from perhaps the most famous trial in the history of fiction, and I myself shall be playing the role of that formidable sergeant at law, Sergeant Buzfuz. So now, back we go through many loving years to hear the case of Bardell versus Pickwick.
Court, Cornhill, August 28, 1830. Bardell against Pickwick.
Let us take a moment to examine how such a strange circumstance could have arisen. To anyone acquainted with the admirable regulation of Mr. Pickwick's mind, his appearance and behavior that morning would have been most mysterious and unaccountable. It was evident that something of great importance was in contemplation, but what that something was, not even Mrs. Bardell herself had been enabled to discover. Mrs. Bardell was his landlady, the relict and sole executrix of a deceased custom house officer, a comely woman of bustling manners and agreeable appearance, with a natural genius for cooking. The only other inmate of the house was Mrs. Bardell's little son. It was about young Master Bardell that Mr. Pickwick now inquired.
Your little boy is a very long time gone, Mrs. Bardell.
Why, it's a good long way to the barracks, sir.
Ah, very true, so it is. Mrs. Bardell.
Sir?
Don't you think it a much greater expense to keep two people than to keep one?
Now, Mr. Pickwick, what a question.
Well, but do you?
That depends. That depends on the person, you know, Mr. Pickwick.
Ah, yes, that's very true. But the person I have in my eye is a careful and saving person and has a great deal of sharpness, which may be of material use to me.
Now, Mr. Pickwick.
To tell you the truth, Mrs. Bardell, I have made up my mind.
Oh, dear me, sir.
You'll think it very strange now that I never consulted you about this matter till I sent your little boy out this morning,
Yes. I mean, no, sir.
Well, what do you think? It'll save you a good deal of trouble, won't it?
Oh, I never thought anything of the trouble. And I should take more trouble to please you then than ever. But it is so kind of you to have consideration for my loneliness.
Ah, to be sure. You will always have somebody to sit with you.
I'm sure I ought to be a very happy woman.
And your little boy will have a companion.
Oh, you dear. Oh, you kind, good, playful dear. I'm going to kiss you.
But bless my soul. Oh. Mrs. Bardell, my good woman, pray compose yourself.
Oh,
mercy on me, what a situation. I hear somebody coming up the stairs. No, don't. There's a good creature. Don't.
Alas, for Mr. Pickwick, entreaty and remonstrance were alike unavailing. Mrs. Bardell had fainted in his arms. And before he could deposit her on a chair, Master Bardell entered the room, ushering in Mr. Tupman, Mr. Winkle, and Mr. Snodgrass. The Pickwickians stared at their friend in paralyzed astonishment, and Mr. Pickwick stared back. It was young Master Bardell who broke up the tableau with an unearthly screaming and howling. Mrs. Bardell, partly revived, was led away, and poor Pickwick attempted an explanation.
I cannot conceive what has been the matter with that woman. I had merely announced to her my intention of keeping a manservant when she fell into the extraordinary paroxysm in which you found her.